snarling in frustration.
In water?
In water?
The leader shook its head from side to side.
What?
Water! Water! Water!
Black water takes, and black water gives.
They began a rhythmic stamping, feet slapping on the rock, back and forth. Behind the tumbled boulders, Ryan and Kate pressed together low, backs against the stones. Ryan Six Sour was drawn and ready, while the young woman gripped his honed panga.
Take and give! Take and give!
The chanting went on, finally beginning to fade away, the noise of the feet also quieting. Still, Ryan and Kate kept motionless, not daring to risk a glance along the quay. At last, there was silence. He felt the girl stirring and laid a warning hand on her arm. The river, racing by only a yard away from them, was making enough sound to cover any approach by the muties. Ryan waited, counting his own pulse, reaching 400 before he decided to chance a move. He shifted sideways, managing to keep under cover, and cautiously lifted his head above the barrier. Only to see a crude iron spear thrusting straight at his face. There wasn't even time to squeeze the trigger. All Ryan's reflexes allowed him to do was to push the automatic pistol at the jabbing spear, getting the barrel between two of the prongs, deflecting the thrust away from his face. His brief look at the trackies had led Ryan to figure them for physical weaklings, which made the demonic power behind the attack even more disconcerting. The trackie pushed with such force that Ryan was barely able to hold him off, the spear lunging in, knocking him backward. Ryan and the mutie toppled into Kate, squeezing her into the narrow space at the extreme end of the jetty, inches from the river. The pistol was stuck between the points of the trident, twisting Ryan's wrist painfully sideways.
Bastard Norm!
The trackie's goggling face pressed close to Ryan's. Its breath was foul, stinking of ancient, rank fish. Its free hand, slightly webbed, clawed toward the man's eye.
Bastard mutie!
Ryan kicked out and upward, feeling the satisfying thud of the steel-toed combat boots grinding into the creature's groin. The next few seconds held the familiar insanity of a lethal fight. Ryan grabbed at the trackie's left hand, ripping the coarse cloth of the sleeve, feeling the sinewy strength of the corded muscles. It spat at him, slimy saliva running down his cheek. There was a flash of bright metal, and he felt the whisper of sliced air against his skin. The mutie jerked in his grasp, and he saw its face open like a peeled orange. The white skin and flesh parted under the hacking blow from the cleaver. Its right eye was cut clean in half, bursting into a pinkish jelly.
Got him!
Kate heaved the 18-inch steel blade clear of the splintered cheekbone.
Watch out for the others!
The trackie had rolled sideways, letting go of its long spear, both its hands reaching toward its ruined face. Not wanting to waste bullets, Ryan drew his own thin-bladed skinning knife. The wounded mutie was turned away from him, crouched over, showing the back of its neck. It was the easiest of instant kills for an experienced knife man. Ryan picked his spot, precisely where the skull joined the spine, and thrust the narrow blade in as hard as he could. To make sure, Ryan jerked his wrist from side to side as he withdrew the knife, but the albino creature was already down and done for. In its last, dying spasm, it kicked the spear toward the edge of the jetty in the dark water. Ryan dove for it, managing to free his blaster, hefting the trident as it turned and straightened. Kate was battling two more of the trackies, weaving a pattern of whirling steel in front of herself, hacking at the spears as they came lunging toward her. Though the balance of the weapon was less than perfect, Ryan hurled his trident at the nearest of the trackies. It caught the creature through its wrinkled throat, sending it staggering back, where it finally slipped sideways and vanished into the foaming water. The haft of the spear rose for a moment, then disappeared. Out of the corner of his eye, Ryan saw the young woman open a great gash across the chest of the trackie that was attacking her. Blood gushed out, pouring onto the jetty. For a moment, Ryan had the illusion that the steaming liquid was glowing in the semi-darkness. The remaining nine muties backed off. Ryan had sheathed his flensing knife and now leveled the blaster at the group. Half a dozen rounds would chill most of them and scatter the rest, but it might also bring the rest of the subterranean tribe flooding from the tunnels. Ryan didn't have that much ammo to spare.
Do it!
Too late.
Why?
Look.
He pointed at the trackies with the 9mm automatic. One of them had broken from the huddle and scampered off in its flat-footed waddle down one of the side tunnels.
Fetching reinforcements?
Gotta be.
What do we do, Ryan?
Looks like we go swimming again. We're on the right side of the netting, downstream of it.
No.
You got a better idea?
No.
Somehow, the water didn't seem quite as cold as before. Ryan had a suspicion that this was because they were both sinking fast to the welcoming arms of hypothermia. He took the Panga from Kate and sheathed it safely, holstering the Sig Sauer. Then, keeping a watchful eye on the trackies, Ryan slid into the river. For a moment, hanging on to one of the ancient iron rings, Kate joined him, and they let the current bear them away from the torchlit quay. One of the muties hurled its spear at them, but it missed by several feet. By then, the freezing water was carrying them out of range, into the mouth of another dark overhang, and into a tunnel of pitch blackness. To try to keep them together, Ryan had hastily ripped a length of sacking off the clothes of one of the tracky corpses, and they each clung to one end of it. Now the flow was slower, the walls and roof of the tunnel feeling wider and higher. Ryan's body was growing stiff with cold, his muscles reluctant to work to keep him afloat. There was a temptation to close his eyes and slide painlessly beneath the surface. His legs were kicking more slowly. His arm pulled at the water with less and less strength. Suddenly, Ryan was walking along a high trail with a towering escarpment of orange rock, sunlit, to his right. A heather-covered hillside sloped gently toward an amethyst lake far off on his left. And ahead of him walked a young boy with black curly hair, hand in hand with a tall, attractive woman whose hair blazed like living fire. Ryan's mouth and nose filled with the freezing river. Kate was close by him, pummeling his back with her free hand, screaming at him.
Don't you fucking dare die, you selfish bastard! You're not leaving me!
Ryan saw the light first. They seemed to have been moving in slow, massive loops for an eternity. Ryan's failing brain had already wondered whether they were miles below the valley, driving ever downward toward the core of the Earth itself. Kate had passed out, and he was hanging on to her as best he could, struggling to keep her face above the water. That was how he'd realized there was light. He looked down and was able to see the white blur of her face.
Light.
Now they were accelerating, gathering speed. The glistening walls of smooth rock racing by them, faster and faster. The light grew brighter, gaining from the prick of a pin in a black sheet to a semicircle that seemed dazzling after the long immersion in the netherworld. The noise was there again. A distant roar like thunder. Ryan wondered, rather distantly, whether he should try to do something to check their progress. The idea was
far-fetched.
He remembered that Doc used to say that something far-fetched was like a bucket of shit from China. It made Ryan grin. Ryan was still grinning as he and Kate shot from the opening in the mountainside and plunged out into the afternoon sunshine, riding a plume of rainbowed spray that plummeted nearly 100 feet into a shining pool. It lay near the head of the main valley, off a side canyon, surrounded by spruce and pinyon pines. A thin covering of snow topped the cropped turf all around. Circling on a frail thermal, way above the water, a falcon looked down from hooded eyes, considering whether there might be good eating below. The two bodies both floated face down, motionless in the small lake, as the ripples gradually subsided back into stillness. Deep, deep within the heart of the mountains around the pool, the shredded corpse of a young male trackie lay on the deserted jetty. One of its protruding eyes had been torn from the socket, and the other stared blankly at the cave roof. Its left arm had been ripped away, and its intestines tumbled in yellow loops around the blood-speckled feet. The fourth of the killer sectroids stood over the body, at the edge of the underground river. Its ruby eyes glowed in the dim light as it stared intently at the rushing water, watching it vanish into the distant tunnel. After nearly a minute, it turned around and moved slowly away into one of the maze of adjoining passages. Major Commissar Grigory Zemyanin was carrying out the morning examination of his domain. The weather was warmer than it had been for several days, the thermometer outside the main office of the sulfur mines rising very close to the freezing point. There had been a chemstorm during the small hours, with jagged streaks of purple lightning followed by a brief torrential downpour, which had raised the level of the main river by several inches. One of the lowest levels of the mine had become flooded, meaning that several of the working shifts had